Hi there, James from TextGen, and I am very excited today to introduce you to a special guest. As I set up our time today and introduce Claire here in a minute, I just want to remind us that TextGen is for nonprofit leaders looking to mobilize their mission. And what that means to us is, of course, we have the technology like mobile phones. All too often, we start from a place of tools or tactics, and we really don't get into much of the strategy. But even more important than even the strategy is the why. Like, why do we do what we do? How do we really connect with people in the moment? How do we activate them and mobilize them with our mission and to really march with us in our cause as we move forward? So mobilizing our people really is more than just the technology and the tactics and the tool set that we're using. And that, my friends, is why I'm so excited about our guest today. I've been following Claire for a long time. And look, I reached out to her and I said, Claire, we have a small little podcast. We just got started here. But it's very important that in our early, early episodes, we embed a strong, purposeful DNA into this our time here. Will we really bring some clarity to what it means to do what we do as we mobilize and activate people. So I was very grateful to have so much time with Claire leading up to this time with you. And I think you'll get a lot out of our session today. We're going to go into the difference between fundraising and philanthropy, kind of how Claire sees those two. Claire's going to share her experience of nearly four decades of working in various roles around development and fundraising and philanthropy and kind of her own journey. We're going to learn about the clarity that she brings to the topic. Let's get started.
Hey there, I'm James with TextGen, and I am excited today to be here with a new friend named Claire, Claire Axelrad, and she is with Clarification. And so, Claire, I just want to get to know you and your story, spend a little bit of time with you, and see what we might learn in our time together. So welcome to TextGen.
Thank you for having me.
So, Claire, you and I have actually had the pleasure of having a couple of conversations now, and I've been a longtime follower and fan of your blog. But I want you to tell the audience a little bit about who you are, and we'll get into your story here in a minute. So take it away. Let's learn a little bit more about the woman named Claire.
Okay. Well, I'm a California girl who is nothing like the stereotype. The only thing I surf is the web. And you know, I can't believe it, but I have worked in the social benefit sector now for four decades.
Wow.
But I just welcomed my first grandchild to the world, so time flies.
That it does.
And, you know, I think one of the things that makes me different than a lot of other people out there is that I've worked in the trenches for 30 years for five different organizations, and I was always the head development honcho. I think maybe because I'm just bossy. So I just naturally flowed into those positions. But I've had the opportunity to do every aspect of fundraising and marketing. So annual giving, major gifts, legacy gifts, grants, events, marketing communications. But I've always been a big picture vision person. Mm-hmm. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I can be very detail oriented, but that comes later. So if you're ever in the room with someone who says, wait a minute, before we get to that, I'm that person. I'm the one who says, I always ask why first.
Yeah.
I'm always like, okay, well, what if da-da-da-da-da, which, I know gets really annoying, but it's a good person to have in the room because you want to get to the why before you get to the who, what, when, where, and how.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
No, I love it, Claire. And, you know, and as you're speaking, I'm thinking about several of the articles I've read and some of the writings that you've put out, but you really are. It seems like you get really quick to the why and really dig for the information. With your story, you know, I love that you have a background even before, you worked in the philanthropy world. But tell us a bit about kind of where you started your professional career.
Well, I started as a lawyer. My mother wanted to be a lawyer, so I kind of accommodated her desire to live through me. And I thought it would be a good way to help people. But I fell into civil procedure, which is, no surprise, very procedural. And I found that the wheels of justice turned very slowly. So I didn't enjoy it. And I complained to everyone I know. And one day somebody said to me, you know, Claire, you ought to do what I just did. And she had gone to this career change weekend where everybody went in and they had a pseudonym and that no one knew what they did. And we did these exercises like, what color is my parachute? Where we described experiences that we had had over every 5-year period of our lives that made us feel successful. And we talked about those. And it was just so interesting because skill words would come out. Those were the skills that you enjoyed using. And for me, it was probably analyzer and evaluator and creator. And what I learned from that experience is it's all about playing to your strengths. That, you know, there are lots of things that you can end up doing and can do fairly well, but it doesn't mean you're going to enjoy them. So from that experience, they brainstormed several fields for me to look into. Fundraising certainly wasn't one of them. Nobody ever heard of that. But over the course of my journey, where I did research interviews with 200 people, I told you I can be very detail oriented.
Yep.
Somebody at one point at a corporation where they did their corporate philanthropy said to me, you know, I think you might be interested in the flip side of what we do. And I think I just looked at him like, what are you talking about? And he said, you know, development. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, I didn't want to admit I had never heard of development. But then I started doing research interviews with nonprofits and it really clicked. It was like, yes, this is really what I want to do. And lo and behold, I've been doing it now for 4 decades.
Claire, I love it. It sounds like your quest for clarity and getting to the why is not just shows up in your writing, but even your own life story. I mean, getting to the heart of the matter of what you actually want to do and what activates you. That's an incredible story. So tell us a bit about what you do today. You've mentioned some time with philanthropy and you've got some lots of roles. So let's talk a little bit about kind of what you're doing now.
Okay, so I was told numerous times by people that I should do consulting. Mm-hmm. And 10 years ago, I decided to do it. I was ready. And so I founded Clarification. And again, I think Clarification is not just my name, it's my job. Mm-hmm. I like to clarify. I've always been a good analyzer. I get to the heart of the matter, you know. So like when people are in therapy, they come in with a presenting complaint. And I always go beyond the presenting complaint, you know. So often when I work with someone, they'll come and say, you know, not enough people know about us.
Mm.
And I will counter with, well, why should they know about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were to cease to exist, would people mourn your loss? I wrote an article right after Notre Dame burned. Mm-hmm. And you remember people were just out there in the plaza singing hymns. Mm-hmm. And I said, would people sing hymns if you were to cease to exist?
Wow.
So I really like to find the big problem. The real problem, the one that's really keeping people up at night, and then help them brainstorm solutions, not stick with the solution that they've come to me. You know, we need an awareness campaign. We need a brochure. We need. I say, why do you need that? And what makes you think that is the best way to accomplish your outcome? And who else needs to be on board to get that done? And why do you need to do that now? So all sorts of questions before we get to building a plan. But then, of course, want to build a detailed plan with strategies, with tactics, with the timeline, with responsibilities, because big visions are great, but you got to turn them into action. One of my favorite quotes is from Peter Drucker, and he says, the best plans are only good intentions unless they degenerate into work.
I love that quote. I love it. You know, Claire, you know, do you find that there's, as in these conversations with clients and the folks that you run in to, do you feel like there's some people that are maybe more big picture visionary versus those that are more tactical, kind of boots on the ground, you know, working on the tools or the tactics that you mentioned? Do you feel like that people fall in those two camps, or do you think people really flip between the two with a little bit of help and coaching?
Well, I think it depends on the person. I think that we are who we are. And, you know, if you've ever done the Gallup Strengths Finder exercise, you know, I think they have about 36 traits, skills. And if you take the test, you know, that you'll have a top five. And so that means you can do all of those things, but there's a top five that come to you more easily. And again, you know, I like people to play to their strengths. And what we do is we do a performance review and we hone in on that one thing that a person doesn't do very well. And then their whole review is about how they can improve in that area, rather than saying, hey, maybe like take this off your plate. Let's give this to someone who does this more easily. And let's focus in on the things you're doing really well and do more of them.
So it sounds like really getting to the why of really how they're built, their personality, their traits, and activating that within them to really realize their potential. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think, yeah.
That's great.
And I'm trying to do that myself in my own practice. I think, you know, I told you people said I should always consult, but the digital revolution has made it possible for me to do that in the way that I most enjoy, which is not just one-off consulting projects that help a few people, but really being by people's sides in an ongoing way as a coach, as a teacher, as a writer. I mean, my motto is really, if I know it, I want you to know it.
I love it.
And when I was at, you know, in the trenches, I remember the place that I stayed the longest had a big going away party for me. And my staff got together and wrote a song, which they sang to me.
That's sweet.
And I really should dig it out because it was pretty funny. But one of the things that ran through the song was she ran her own fundraising school.
That seems fitting.
I started clarification. I started blogging. I started writing. I started sharing a lot of what I know. But clarification school grew out of that notion that I was running my own fundraising school anyway. So I might as well share simple, in-depth, practical content that's both theory and practice so that I can help as many people as possible fulfill their personal and professional missions.
Mm-hmm. Claire, would you say that that's your why? Is that, you know, creating clarity in the hearts and the minds of your readers and your clients and the people that follow along with clarification? Is that really, and doing it sounds like at large scale, right? Because you have a significant reach into so many different minds and hearts. Is that what you kind of keeps you up at night? Is that your why?
I think my why is the ability to share.
Okay.
Like really, when I worked in the trenches, I always shared. Mm-hmm. Like anytime I would see an article that I thought was interesting, I would copy it, I would distribute it, I would write it in the write in the margins. What do you think? How could we do this? And once I left and I was on my own, I just didn't have people to share with every day all this stuff that I was learning and thinking about. And that was really my impetus for beginning clarification, the lack of folks with whom to share. Mm-hmm. And later I started, so I have clarification school, but I also have a newsletter that I send out every other week, and it's called my Clarity Click It. And I curate information across the web because I'm a voracious reader. So I'm finding great articles, e-guides, webinars, podcasts like yours that I want to share with other people. So, you know, if anybody wants to sign up for my Clarity Click It, you'll get that too.
I love it. And that's, I get it. Great. And I followed along and read much of your work. And what I loved about your writing and your style, even just putting things together in the Clarity Click It, was that you had a knack for just finding the most helpful articles and building themes around them, really helping kind of bring thoughts. So if I was looking at, you know, donor thank you initiatives, you seemed like you had a nice curated subset of that. It really saved me a lot of time from having to go out and find all that on my own. So incredible work.
Well, good. That makes me happy.
Good. And Claire, in our previous conversations, it struck me that you love to learn. And really the natural extension of that is to teach and to share with others. So Claire, these days, what are you working on now? You mentioned Clarification School. You've mentioned your various writings that you're doing. Like what's some of the things that you're working on the next 30, 60 days that you're real excited about?
Well, I would say really I'm focused on helping people to reframe the way they look at their roles.
Okay.
And there are probably four different areas that I've discovered kind of cut to the heart of why people are having difficulty doing whatever they are doing in the nonprofit world, certainly fundraising. And one of those is the tagline for Clarification, which is philanthropy, not fundraising.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And you know, really, fundraising is seen by so many people as an F word. People would rather do anything else but fundraising. And, you know, it comes from a real deeply ingrained fear about talking about money.
Yes.
Money is like the biggest taboo in our society. And when you think about fundraising, it sounds like it's all about money.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound very fun, does it?
No. But philanthropy, which literally translates from the Greek to mean love of humankind, that's all about love. Mm-hmm. And so if I can encourage people to think about their role as a philanthropy facilitator, a facilitator of love, people start to become much more, not just comfortable, but actually excited because they feel like they're doing something good instead of something evil. So I work a lot around that type of frame. And then I also kind of take that to the next step, which is a culture of philanthropy. So I really feel like development is a team sport. You can't do it by yourself. I mean, it's just no fun. It's just too hard. So the culture of philanthropy is something that kind of permeates the organization. And it's really the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Like if you don't want them to, you know, kind of cut you out, if you don't want to be competitive, you want to be walking down the hall and saying, hi, not just how was your weekend, but hi, how can I help you today? You know, this sort of willingness to help other people as opposed to that's not my job.
I love that, Claire. And the reframing of philanthropy from, you know, fundraising is it really, I think, gets the heart of what we're really doing. We're activating people and we're connecting with them and their innate desire to really help others. Whereas funding, it feels like it's not the person at the center or their why as much as it is maybe the act, right? We're moving it from their heart to their wallet when we talk funds versus philanthropy. That's an important distinction. How did you come to that clarification, if you would?
Well, I think it's really remembering that we're in the people business. People are people first before they're donors. And so it's important to not kind of label people, categorize people, think, well, they're a donor. And so I'm going to treat them like a donor, which means basically treating them like a wallet or an ATM or I think I wrote an article once, which is don't treat them like gumballs where you chew them up and spit them out. You know, you're done with them. You know, you want to savor your gumball. You want to taste the flavor. You want to, you know, find out more about it. And part of that is, again, this attitude of gratitude, which is another way that I like to reframe the work, which is that you're always thinking about what you're grateful for. And very specifically. You know, I tell people keep a gratitude journal, but not the traditional kind where you write down all the things you're grateful for yourself, but a donor gratitude journal.
I love it.
Honestly, like I would write in it every day, just one thing that I thought about. Like, I'm grateful to Bill for bringing a coffee cake to our meeting today. You know, it's just a practice of starting to look for what it is that you are grateful to different people for, and within your office too. And then remembering to let them know.
Yes.
Or just that it just, because you cultivate that in yourself, the next time you see them, you remember, oh, I wrote that down. I'm going to tell them.
Yes.
People love to be thanked. I mean, there's so much research on the benefits of gratitude. It's good for the giver and it's good for the receiver. It's all good.
Claire, I love it. And as you're talking, I feel the excitement because you're really opening our hearts and our minds to think in possibilities. Whereas, you know, sometimes I feel like we focus too much on scarcity or the funds themselves. So moving it to the heart and moving it to an openness in that way does foster more gratitude and a better connection with those that we're serving. Right. So outstanding thoughts. I'm taking lots of notes over here.
And I think it's interesting that you mentioned scarcity because very many nonprofits operate from a culture of scarcity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the overhead's not supposed to be too high. And we have conditioned donors to look at that. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, they spend more than 10% on fundraising. That's terrible. But it's not terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you spend 15 cents to raise a dollar,
yep,
that's a pretty good return. If you spend 20 cents and raise more than a dollar and you can help more people, that's not a bad thing. So
this
scarcity mindset is what causes so much turnover in the nonprofit world. Mm. Because people are told, you know, do with less, be lean and mean, work hard, wear a hair shirt. You're working in nonprofit. You're supposed to suffer. That's no fun. This shouldn't be about suffering.
Mm-mm. No, and really, you know, to your earlier point, Claire, you know, philanthropy is really enabling people to be part of what you're about and to get on board. And I think at the end of the day, people want to believe in something. They want to belong to it. And ultimately, they want to benefit from it. And that benefit could simply be, you know, beyond just the participation in an event or even volunteerism, but it's really being able to see your story and for me to be part of that story, which is a phenomenal opportunity we have with all people, right?
And yes, absolutely. And it's thinking about donors as mission central.
Yes.
They're part of your mission. They're not a means to an end. Mm-hmm. They are, in fact, an end. Like, you know, I worked many years for a comprehensive human services agency. So, mm-hmm. you know, nominally, we're all about helping people thrive, you know, feel better, feel healthier. And yet we forgot that we should do that with our donors too. And we have the ability to help donors feel better, to feel a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose, a sense of joy. And so I always say that the business that we're really in is the happiness delivery business.
Happiness.
And then you may know that they've done MRI studies where they show that when people even contemplate giving, they get a shot of dopamine.
Yeah.
So the pleasure centers of the brain light up, and it's a feeling that is very akin to eating chocolate or having sex. It's mm-hmm. like a very joyful feeling, but we have to keep that feeling going. It's not just a one-shot transaction.
Yes.
You know, so you have to build relationships with people and
have a long view. I love it.
You have to have the long view. So that is really where, when you understand that donors are part of your mission and that your business as a philanthropy facilitator is to deliver happiness, mm-hmm. then all of the other tactics that we use just fall into place naturally of, you know, figuring out ways to discover your donors' needs and their passions so that you can help them meet them and enact them more. So it's more about helping them, not selling to them, listening and empathizing and being human.
Absolutely love it. It seems like we're moving from a transactional relationship to a full-on deeper relationship, which is incredible. I love it. I love everything you're saying. This is great, Claire. Let me ask you this. What as you think about when you started out versus where you are today, what do you wish somebody would have told you if, when you were new to your roles? What if you could go back in time and coach and mentor young Claire, what would you tell her today?
Well, it's interesting because somebody actually gave me some really good advice. They said, when you get your first job, insist that they send you to the fundraising school. Mm-hmm. And the fundraising school was about the only course at the time that you could take because, you know, it wasn't in university programs like it is now. And so I did that. And I got super lucky because Hank Rosso, who I think of as the daddy of fundraising, founded that school and he became a personal mentor. And so I would say also find a mentor. But I mean, there really is a right way to do this and a wrong way or a not so good way to do this. And I would say invest in professional development. Consider this a career. I mean, you can try to wing it. You can try to reinvent the wheel. But why would you want to do that? You know, working smart is much better than working hard.
Yes, Claire, I couldn't agree more. You know, it's interesting to me that every performance athlete, every senior level executive, they all invest in coaching and education for themselves, right? It's really about having somebody that can help you, quote unquote, see your own golf swing, right? So right. As we think about how we can level up as individuals, like what better way than to invest in yourself through coaching, through schooling, through subscribing to your clarification school, where I can really get a lot of clarity and a lot of helpful resources to really shape me and my cause, because it is very important, the work that we're doing. And if we are to be effective and perform at our optimal level as philanthropists, it really is, it comes down to having that coaching, doesn't it? And those resources to help us.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I don't think anything is very fun if you're doing it all alone. Mm-hmm. And so particularly with development, where a lot of people are hired and then put in a corner and told, go raise money. That just doesn't work very well.
It can be a very lonely place.
It's a very lonely place. And it's not just lonely, but it's just not very fulfilling because you never feel like you really feel like you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you want to have that confidence. You want to feel like, wow, I'm doing the thing that's right. And this is ultimately going to work. And I'm going to bring other people along with me. And I know it for sure, as opposed to, why am I failing? Why are people always upset with me?
I love it, Claire. Don't go at it alone. So how does someone learn more about, we've mentioned clarification.com, but what are some other ways that we can get a hold of you, Claire, and learn more about the work and the writing that you're doing?
Well, yeah, go to clarification.com, get on my mailing list. You'll get the Clarity Clicket, the curated content every other week. You'll get a little free download about how to thank people. And then, you know, if you're interested, I would really hope that you would join us for Clarification School. It's not expensive. It's just my way of covering my costs so that I can continue to share and help the most people that I possibly can. And, you know, then you also get access to all my webinars and other content and bonuses. And I give you monthly tips and stuff like that. And then check me out on Twitter. I'm at Charity Clarity, and I'm spelled Clarity like my name, C-L-A-I-R-I-T-Y.
I love it. Clarification.com and Charity Clarity. What these, I'm starting to see a theme here.
Yeah. Claire.
So well done. Thank you. Well, Claire, I'm going to wrap up here. Is there any closing thoughts as we wrap things up in our time together? And I really appreciate you taking time for us today. Is there anything that you would leave us with as we round out our time here together?
I would say don't stay with something that doesn't make you happy. Mm-hmm. I find a lot of people who are not happy in their development work, and it really makes me unhappy, because I have had such a wonderful career in the field, and I know that you can. So I would say either learn to do it better so you feel more confident and more control and more authority, more success, more joy, or learn to reframe how you approach your work so you can tweak it around the edges, so you don't sweat the small stuff, so you can focus on what you can do, not on what you can't. And then finally, if you need to move on, if this isn't your thing, do yourself the favor of figuring out why you need to move on. So that you don't just end up choosing the carbon copy of where you're at now. I think that a life well lived means mistakes happen. You just have to learn from them.
Well, Claire, again, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you and the work that you do, and avid fan and reader of your work at Clarification School. So thank you so much for taking some time with us today.
Thank you, James. And I want to thank everyone who's listening for doing the wonderful and important work that you do. It makes a difference.
Thank you, Claire. So there you have it, Claire Axelrod. And you can learn more about Claire at clarification.com. And it's clarification, like she spells her name, as she said. Claire, you're such a gift to the community and your writing style. I'm just so thankful for you. So thank you so much for your time. And you are truly an amazing person and soul. So thank you so much. Have a great day, and looking forward to our next conversation. Bye-bye now.